Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your donkey is coming to you. Your king is coming to you, sorry, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. So it's a disconcerting day, this Palm Sunday we're celebrating, full of irony and of reality. The parade, it's a real crowd pleaser, one we've held on to now for centuries. The story, it's a great story, one we remember to tell festively every year. And yet tucked into the parade and the story is a growing darkness, a challenge to each of us and to the church as a whole. For today, truth comes riding into town on a donkey, surrounded by a crowd and greeted by shouts and the strewing of branches along the road. Yet by the end of the week, as Garrett said, by the end of the week, truth will be hanging on a cross, alone, abandoned by the very supporters who earlier cheered the rider on. Today, the crowd positions itself to greet a conquering hero, a valiant victor, while truth instead arrives brokenhearted and empty-handed, riding on a common animal. Today in our churches, we hand out palms and we join the crowds who celebrate a triumphant king by singing "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," while truth incarnate continues to ride alone in the direction of all who are suffering, frightened, confused, or lost. The setting of the story is clear. Jesus and his disciples come from rural Galilee to the city of Jerusalem to join thousands of other pilgrims who flock to the city for Passover, the celebration of liberation centuries earlier from slavery and the suffering it caused. The current occupation forces, Roman guards, are nervous, on edge. The pilgrims are also expectant, surrounded as they are by the extra troops that have been ordered from the Roman garrison of Caesarea, 45 miles west. The Roman governor has come from his palace at Caesarea, in the heart of Jerusalem, to take charge in case there's a major civil disturbance. And somewhere in the middle of all this commotion, truth incarnate gets on a donkey, determined to continue to embody with his life the message he's been preaching. For here is one who has spent his whole life seeking out those who were in physical or emotional pain, those who had endured untold grief, those who were suffering. This Christ was profoundly aware of the tragedy and the brokenness of human experience. And so the one on the donkey rides along, eyes open, taking in all the suffering around him that is camouflaged in the celebratory cheers of the moment, sensing the heavy darkness of death in the air, perhaps even sensing that this death includes his own. He trusts God deeply and looks with love and sorrow at those who surround him. The crowd continues their shouts of "Hosanna, save now," and the donkey carries him into the uncertainty of the city, determined to continue to incarnate God's love with his life. In his life so far, and in his teachings, this one now riding a donkey is, as Father Richard Rohr puts it, not loyal to groups, to countries, to battles, to teams. Jesus is loyal only to suffering and the embodiment of loving, healing presence when encountering such suffering. The reason Jesus and his teachings have had such an impact on human history is not that his ideas were more original or his organization more effective. The reason is that Jesus, in love, embraced the entire ragged, broken, hurting world that surrounded him, accepting it, taking it in, and surrounding it with love. It's that loving response to suffering that brings truth riding into the heart of the fractured city of peace. But there's another part to the truth this rider embodies. Let me offer it to you in a modern-day parable for Palm Sunday. Picture, if you will, a Monty Python-type character who slips and falls down a precipice. With a stroke of incredible good fortune, a branch happens to jut from the mountainside, which he is able to desperately grab, saving his very life. He is utterly relieved, but now finds himself in a horrible predicament. It is impossible to climb back up, and if he falls, he will be smashed on the rocks far beneath him. With legs dangling, his grip tiring, he calls out, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there?" He calls and calls until his voice grows hoarse, hoping for a response from anybody. Finally, a voice responds, "I'm here, and I will help you." "Oh, finally, please help me. Throw a rope, dial 911, do something, quick! If you do as I say, you will be brought to safety. Are you willing to do what I say?" "Yes, of course, anything, just please help me." "Let go." "What? Let go? Who is this?" "This is the Lord your God. Have no fear. If you let go, I will save you." "Isn't anybody else up there?" Palm Sunday calls us to also take the risk of letting go of our safe, controlled lives to incarnate God's love. But we're not geared toward letting go any more than our economy is. Jesus reminds us, let go of your life and you will find it. Hang on and you'll lose it. We hear this paradoxical teaching and we can't help but respond, there's got to be someone else up there. And yet on Palm Sunday, we see truth incarnate riding into Jerusalem, embodying how all human life is to be lived with a willingness to let go, using an incarnated courage and integrity and commitment to love. We watch as Jesus lives out his life fully by giving it back, risking it all, sacrificing it, spending it, holding nothing back. And in such a ride, we are called to the true meaning of faith, to let go and then, in a loving sacrifice, embrace again that which we have released. The 19th century philosopher Soren Kierkegaard puts it this way in his Fear and Trembling. It is great to give up one's desire, but it is greater to hold fast to it after having given it up. In other words, the movement of faith is this: to love, to let go, and still to willingly embody love by carrying a part of the infinite suffering of God. Though we may hesitate to embrace this Palm Sunday truth, many of us have, perhaps unwillingly, had encounters with it in our lives. Those of us who are parents or who work with children know the experience. We watch as we do all that we can to love those children, to incarnate love for them, and to stand with them in times when they suffer, knowing that we will have to let them go, finding a new way to love them as they step further and further away. And those of us who have experienced loss and grief know well what Jesus is teaching. On the one hand, we must let go of the person we love who has died. No longer will we sit at a breakfast table and share a conversation with them. The loved one is gone, and we must let go. On the other hand, we love this person. They have helped shape who we are, have experienced so much with us, have laughed and argued and cried and touched us. And this person remains with us in our heart. Even as we let go, we continue to hold them close and to find new ways to embody that love as we reach out to others who also find themselves broken or grieving or suffering. We make the Palm Sunday movement of faith. We love, we let go, and we come out the other side, not destroyed, but larger and stronger and wiser. So, too often, it's when conditions conspire against us and we have no choice that we learn the Palm Sunday lesson. And yet, as I get older, I find myself agreeing more and more with William Stringfellow, a distinguished lawyer who became a distinguished theologian. Stringfellow was a strong critic of the church, and specifically of the church on Palm Sunday. He used to say that Christians go to church on Palm Sunday because they love a parade, not because they have any intention of following Jesus deeper and deeper into his Holy Week journey of passion and suffering. Instead, the church is too often like the narrator in this poem by one of my favorite contemporary poets, Shel Silverstein. The poem is called "The One Who Stayed," and it goes like this. You should have heard the old men cry. You should have heard the biddies when that sad stranger raised his flute and piped away the kiddies. Katie, Tommy, Meg, and Bob, skipping gaily. Red-haired Ruth, my brother Rob, and little crippled Bailey. John and Niles and cousin Claire, dancing, spinning, turning. Cross the hills to God knows where. They never came returning. Cross the hills to God knows where. The piper pranced, a-leading every child in Hamlin Town but me. And I stayed home unheeden. My papa says that I was blessed, for if that music found me, I'd be witchcast like all the rest. This town grows old around me. I cannot say I did not hear that sound so haunting hollow. I heard it clear. I was afraid to follow. On Palm Sunday, we hear Jesus' music, his message, his heartbeat, love. Bet your life on God and take the risk of letting go, and then become love incarnate yet again, reaching out to all who suffer. We hear it clear, and yet we prefer to take palms, afraid as we are to follow. For 2,000 years, the church has been confronted by ongoing problems like poverty and gun violence and marginalization and hatred and war. And yet we prefer to stand by the side of the road and wave palms rather than risk riding into the heart of the problem. The world has looked at these problems and said, follow the wisest course and you'll be a success. And Jesus says, follow me, incarnate love, and be willing to be crucified for it. And the church says, we'll follow along the side of the road where we can be supportive but can also step out of the way if things get rough. The world says power, and Jesus says love, and the church says, I'd like a little of both, please, packaged in a harmonious balance. The world says, mind your own business, and Jesus says, there is no such thing as anyone's own business. We are all in this together and must each bend to the suffering around us. And the church has so often responded, well, after all, We are an institution. Better to not take risks that might jeopardize our future. Let's stick to business as usual. The world says, make a long-range plan and hold on. That's the way to stay alive and thrive. The Palm Sunday Jesus says, whoever tries to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And the church says, well, we're pretty sure Jesus was speaking metaphorically. Anyone who would take that losing your life stuff literally is laboring under not a cross as much as a delusion. Truth comes riding into town on a donkey saying, let go, risk all you have, step out into the loving arms of God, and then incarnate that love when you encounter suffering. And we, afraid to follow, gather up palms and festively sing Hosanna in response. For what Jesus asked today is a hard lesson to learn, much less bet your life on. After all, who would have bet on the Christians when they huddled in the middle of the Circus Maximus with 100,000 screaming citizens of Rome wanting their martyrdom? Who would have bet on the gentle German pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer instead of the regime that called itself the Thousand-Year Reich? Who would have bet on Gandhi and not the British Empire, or Martin Luther King Jr. and not the Alabama National Guard? And yet, each stands before us as an example of this Palm Sunday message to risk it all by letting go and sacrificing everything to bend to suffering in the name of love incarnate. On Palm Sunday, we watch and wonder as Jesus lives out his life in courageous commitment, uncertain about the future, aware of the possibility of danger and loss, and yet willing to bet his very life on God's promise and hope. And we are given a choice. We can grab a palm and shout Hosanna and drown Jesus out as he says to follow him and calls us to ride as he did into the heart of darkness. Or we can pay attention and, letting go of all that the world teaches us to hold on to, grab a donkey of our own and, in the name of love, ride with him into the world, this world, where the poor, the marginalized, those who are being deprived of basic civil rights, and those in need of safety, shelter, and love await. We must ask ourselves, whose disciples do we mean to be? Today, on this very Palm Sunday, God has provided a donkey. The rest is up to us. Amen.